When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Tom, you're in full pack your knives mode these days. So when I say beef to you, are you thinking Wellington or a ragu?
Yeah, I'm thinking about I have my annual physical. Oh. And my doctor was like, your cholesterol levels are a little like not in the concern level, but hey. We could probably cut back on how much are you eating red meat these days? And I'm like, I'm probably like a burger every once in a while, a steak once a month, maybe. He goes, yeah, we're going to cut back on red meat. But do you know that pork is also considered red meat? I was like, oh no. Oh no.
I thought pork was the other white meat.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought too, Mace. But apparently, it is not. So it is considered red meat. So my wife sometimes gets like pork burgers instead of beef burgers, yeah. And mm-hmm. thinking that's healthier, but it's not. So my beef in my head, it's a delicacy now, and it is a delicacy when it comes to the rap game, and it comes to what I was watching on Sunday night amid, like, my timeline is just lit up and Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. But like, I was watching
I love it. Trey's got a great, I just want to sit back and watch these white guys talk about this.
I'm watching the Tom Brady,
the goat roast.
And it's just goat
is also flame. A red meat.
Yep. Is it? Yeah. Yeah,
I don't
considered
know. I'm
just red meat.
Considering, guessing,
and man, it just seems like beef, Trey, is kind of the it thing right now. Is talking shit about your peers, and even though you love these people or you seem to be cool back in the day, and I just felt like there was a very Two Americas moment where I'm watching and laughing at the Tom Brady jokes and the Gronk stuff, and Kevin Hart's looking around being like, I'm the host, the MC, but I'm pretty much the only black guy up here. And he gives a shout out to Randy Moss, like, that's my guy. And I'm sitting there being like, man, I feel very white right now watching this Tom Brady thing happen. And meanwhile, Twitter is just dominating in a different total conversation. So Trey, how much of the Tom Brady thing did you watch?
I didn't even know it was a thing.
There you go.
I didn't even know that that existed, bro. Like, I didn't. Why was there a roast? Tell me more.
So Tom Brady was he wanted to get roasted. Apparently, he went up to like Kevin Hart and Jeff Ross, and like they hadn't done a roast in years, a celebrity roast. And mm-hmm. Tom Brady like volunteered it. I don't know whether this was after the Gisele Bündchen thing or before, but I think it's about the first roast in like last 3 years, and they did it in LA. So Mina Kimes was there, a bunch of other NFL writers were there. And I didn't realize that this was a big thing until my timeline was like mentioning it and like, oh, Jeff Ross really took it to Tom Brady. This was a funny joke. And I had to log it. I forgot that Netflix does live stuff now.
Yeah, so they're trying to do that now. There's also a John Mulaney live thing on Friday night that was very weird. It was like, everybody's in LA. This is kind of a talk show, but also it was so weird. They had like pre-recorded bits. Anyways, back to the roast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nikki Glaser. Trey, does that name ring a bell at all for you?
No, but that name sounds very wild.
It is wild. And
it's a wild name.
Yeah.
She's white?
Oh, yeah.
She's white, and she plays into that wildness a lot.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So there's no holds barred in, okay, in when she goes up there on the stage.
Was she hot mic like Skylar Diggins?
No. Okay. No. But she doesn't need to be hot mic. It's not like a thing, because she goes, goes hard.
I mean,
she goes hard in the paint.
She and Anthony Jeselnik are usually pretty reliable in terms of...
I don't even know who that is.
Roasting these people.
That's a crazy thing about it. What's his name? Anthony what?
Jeselnik.
That's a crazy last name, too. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally two America's conversation right now. Keep going.
I'll send you the link when Nikki Glaser roasted Tom Brady. Okay. And just the shit she would say. She, I think, is the best at it. And Kevin Hart was just... Like, after she went up, Kevin Hart was just like, yo, I mean, like, that was insane. That was insane. And she was great. But my point is, it seems like the lines between what's fair and what's foul is getting blurred here. And what I've gathered from the Drake and Kendrick Lamar thing, and I haven't listened to rap in a long time, like I said, it's been a few years. Now we're getting into like fact-checking mode, where it seems like Drake is being like, yo, you're running with a bunch of speculation and a bunch of Twitter theories rather than checking facts. And now I'm like, is legal going to have to get involved here? Didn't Drake like send a cease and desist to someone at some point? Like,
allegedly.
See, here we go. There's no facts anymore.
No. It never was, though, in rap. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy thing about it. Like, you are supposed, whatever your fan base or the fan base can say, ooh, or you could destroy their reputation, that is more points for you. It's like being a politician, bro, running for, you know, a office, you know, spot. You know what I'm saying? So it's hilarious.
Yeah, but libel exists in politics, but in rap game, I don't think that you can really stew for libel.
Both of these men being who they are, and both of these claims being very detrimental to their careers, are just interesting, right? Drake's a dad. Kendrick Lamar is a dad. He says that Kendrick Lamar is a domestic violence abuser. You know, he says that Drake's a pedophile.
I mean,
like, they're the extremist things, but then you have these ultimate stands. Like, it's not fans. It's beyond it. Like, it's to the point where, like, these people have never met these artists. And they're like, they'll take, like, such and such out. Like almost the Meet Me in Temecula level, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can like say the name. Wozni Lambre. Yes.
Right, they're getting to these points, and you're just like, "Geez, man, okay, this was a lot, right?" Because you're trying to unpack it, and they're like, "Cool." Even still, it's just like, I've known Kendrick since he was in high school, and I've known Drake in my adult years, like maybe the past 10, 12 years. Both talented. Drake is considered the number one artist. So the idea that you think of it as a title fight, right, in boxing, and you're like, yo, Floyd Mayweather's about to fight this young guy who's never lost, and it is going to be the fight. And we get it. So as we're watching the fight, we're looking and we're like, yo, this young dude might win. The scorecard looks like we're at round seven. We're at round seven, round eight. Scorecard is favoring the young guy.
Did you think Drake would get to round seven?
I thought it would be a round 12 and then tie.
Right.
just because I know the skills of what Kenny can do, right? Mm-hmm. But to be fair, his albums don't equate that, right? His albums are like of substance, trying to like, it's the stuff that you listen to personally. You might leave it crying. You might leave it confused. You might leave it questioning. You might just say, yo, this is the reason why he has the prize at the crib. He won an award. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, Drake makes records that are fun, remind you of a good time, has been a part of your life in the past 15 years, has been played in some professional events, some department stores. He is the safe guy. But now you get to this point of like, all right, it's just down the lyrics. And Kendrick shouldn't shock a lot of people, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then like before last night's response, it was kind of dark. It was like a shocked, like upset. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, it's still kind of, to me, I think Drake got himself off the ropes, but there's no real winner, right? You don't walk away and just say,
it's a pyrrhic victory. It's a public opinion.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, and like you said, there's fans on both sides that are never going to admit that it's over.
Yeah.
Right. There are people out there right now who still think Drake is dominating it.
Yeah, that's their guy.
Is there a like consensus? Like, is there a way to an objective third party that can do a scorecard? Or is it?
You have to listen to people's voices that you respect and see what they say, you know?
So I did a poll, and the results are still going though. But as of right now, I said, and the winner is, we have 11 hours and 19 minutes. KDOT, which is Kendrick, 62%. Drake, 10%. The People, 28%.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
That was my favorite opinion that I saw or tweet that I saw was, it brought out the best in them because it made Kendrick release regularly and it made Drake have to rap again.
Yeah.
It's a good combination because the people, you know, like they brought it out of each other, right? They're competitive, the competitive spirit, the idea, the desire to outdo each other made them both create better content than they have necessarily in a while. Maybe not better, but like more consistent, on time, doing what people want to hear from them. So yeah, the people underrated victor in this fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, again,
62 to 10
as of right now, that's just my followers. But
do you think you skew Kendrick because isn't Kendrick from Compton?
He is from Compton, but like, I think people love Drake. But for this battle, it was just like, oh, you get, oh. And then, you know, again, like his loyalists were like, no, but it's not facts.
Yeah.
It's not facts. And I think even if you like go a little bit further, he never said, he's basically saying, yo, in your camp, if you support people that do those type of things, you inherit it. Right. And there's a fact online. There's a guy went to jail and he's a part of his camp. And he claimed it should be a national holiday that he was released. But again.
Right.
You know, these are things. But then there's also the scenario of him wrapping up the battle, right? He's exhausted. You probably got 10 more of these. I helped you rap, whatever. But
you're saying Drake saying that about.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, all right, yo, you're an abuser. Your manager / friend is sleeping with your wife.
Yeah, this is exactly, this is all Tom Brady GOAT stuff. Sleeping with your wife and like Giselle got a jujitsu instructor and they're making fun
only
of him.
White people joke like that. That can like
because
I don't know if I could chill and just like that's too sharp with the knife.
I mean, it is the knife is look
and that's real. Those things, not saying that that actually happened, but that is a real thing. This is not rap. Where,
but it's abandoning your kids. It, like Tom Brady, the jokes about abandoning his kids and you know, losing his family. Like, hey, this is what it takes to be the GOAT. Is you lose your family. I'm like, oh my god, this is. Why would anyone subject themselves to this?
I like what you did with this because this is very similar. It's very similar.
Yeah,
these two artists have been trapped in the fucking studio for the past 2 weeks, neglecting their kids.
Well, this is what it takes, according to LeBron and JJ Redick. Yeah,
speaking of LeBron, he was quiet, man. He was quiet. He usually got.
I wanted to ask you about this. What is the scorecard in terms of like NBA players? Would you say it's skews more Kendrick Lamar, like 62-10%, like your poll showed, or do you think NBA players are actually more pro Drake than your average audience?
I think they started pro Drake. I think publicly they started pro Drake. I think everybody wanted to be on the right side if they were going to choose.
The right side of history?
Like, you always take the safe bet, right? You're like, well, he hasn't lost. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much from that Kendrick fella in a battle, you know? And this is the one where you feel like, it's no way he can lose. It's no way he can punch him. He's too powerful. And then I'm just watching the sway of opinion just change. And I'm like, oh, these are people I've never seen go this way.
Is this when Steph took down LeBron?
Yes.
Where it's like, there's no way anyone could take down LeBron, peak of his powers. And then this other kid comes in. Mm-hmm. A totally different game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of them ones. And like, even still, like I said, people were screaming, tied up. I'm just glad it's over.
Is it over?
No more songs. It's over.
Because I listened to Drake's thing this morning, and he's like, when we stick to facts, I hope you return the favor or something like that. And then, like, was he bowing out? Was he just like, hey, this is it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he's just kind of like, all right. Because again, like I said, dude really hate him. So the idea that he can just continue to keep rapping, but like if you feel like you're just, you know, like all of a sudden you play that card of like, I don't want to do that. All right, I'm over it. You know, you can't do
it
that.
It seemed like a surrender. And I did get the sense, and I don't know all the facts here and the whole storyline, of course, but Drake sounded like my kid when there's something broken in the house and she's like over defending herself. I didn't break it. Look at where I was before. And she goes through like seven different excuses about why it wasn't her when she broke the thing.
Think about this. That's like you yelling, what did you do, from the other room? And he says, I didn't break it. And you like, bro, I didn't even know nothing was broken.
Yeah.
That was the scenario.
Yeah.
The
cops never got me.
You keep saying I'm a pedophile, but like I never mess with Millie Billy Brown. And I'm like, she's an adult now, right?
Yep.
I don't keep up with these young people.
She is indeed. She is over 18.
But it was very, by the way, age of consent is 16, which his fans went all the way to push that.
I'm glad that they did their research.
They did their research.
Yeah, it's really exonerating there. Thanks.
And I was just kind of like, all right, bro. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole thread of just like very, all right, Maze, you be the judge. Me and Tom, we're the same age, so we can, are you in our age bracket? You 39?
About to turn 35.
Okay, so you could still be the judge. Because me and Tom are same age, and I want you to say sus or plus.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You don't play Susser Plus because...
Very nervous about this. Okay.
We're of age. No, we're of age, but we want to know what's sus and could we do it at our age? Because Drake is 1 year younger than us, by the way.
Oh, okay. I got what you're saying. All right.
You get what I'm saying? All right, bro.
Happily married with two kids over here. Yep. Yes. Just for the record. Yep.
Disclaimer. Drake's history of predatory, inappropriate behavior with young women. Allegedly. I had to throw that out there. Okay. A 23-year-old Drake kissing a 17-year-old fan at a concert in 2010. Sus or plus?
am I supposed to chime in here?
No, May's got chime in on it.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's obviously sus, but he probably didn't. It's not like she was holding her ID up when he kissed her.
Well, he said, he asked, "You're 17. Why do you look like that? You thick. Look at all this."
Sus.
Okay. All right. Rumors of Drake, 29, and Haley Baldwin, 19, dating began circulating after they were seen very affectionate at his Memorial Day party in May 2016. She went to the party with Madison Beer, 17, who shared this video.
I mean, plus makes it sound positive, but I would say that's not sus.
It's not sus. Well, let's just say not sus or not sus. We'll go sus. Not sus. Not sus. All right. They were spotted having dinner together at the restaurant the next day. They reportedly went home together at 2:30 a.m. and Drake was wearing Haley's H necklace on his way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love age. Not sus. Of age. It's, Haley Baldwin, very famous, you know, currently with
Justin
Bieber.
During this time, Haley did an interview with E! Where she revealed she knew Drake for about 4 years. This means Drake met her when he was 25 and she was 15. They frequently spent time together when Haley was underage, even inviting her to his 28th birthday while she was 17.
There you go, sus.
All right. He also attended Kendall Jenner's birthday party and captioned an Instagram photo with Ruby Rose, Phoebe Dow, and 18-year-old Haley. You know, if I could somehow buy a house in, say, I don't know, Jamaica, and then we all in 2015.
Mm. Pretty weird.
I think it's just very weird behavior. I don't know if I can, like I said, these are all allegations, not anything on record. Drake and Georgia Smith, shout out to Georgia Smith, were first linked in early 2017 after she performed on his tour and was later featured on More Life. She was 19 and he was 30 at the time. Reports started to surface and they were dating after Drake was seen at a store in her hometown. The following year, he released Jaded and gave some details about the relationship. The lyrics describe a young woman using him and being left jaded. He addresses the age gap, says you're old enough, but you're still a baby.
Fantastic. I mean, it took him dating her to realize that. I'm gonna say started not sus, and then he had this realization, right? He realized that 19-year-olds are babies. What's next?
Yep.
All right. Millie Bobby Brown.
Sus. We already know the deal. Sus. Sus.
You,
sus,
you know
sus.
This detail though, Tom?
100%.
No, right. I just.
Oh yeah, no! Tell Tom.
Drake and 13-year-old Millie Bobby Brown first met at this concert in Brisbane, Australia. They both shared photos together of their meeting on social media in November 2017. Millie posted this photo a week later, crediting Drake for taking the photo. Choose kindness. 2 months later, during a Golden Globes after party, Drake and Millie post four photos. Millie captioned a post with Drake, blessed to have my security be my plus one at Netflix party. According to reports, Drake 31 and Millie 13 spent the night together at the party. At the SAG Awards the same month, Millie was asked about her new friendship with Drake. In an interview, she says, Drake is my man, and shares how exciting it was to meet him. Drake also wished her a happy 14th birthday. Millie posted a photo wearing Scorpion merch.
He knows how young she is, right? Like, this is...
Like, what 13-year-old would we hang out with? None. I don't even know a parent would let that happen. Drake sent her a few months later wearing a jacket. In her cover story with W Magazine, she goes into more detail about how exactly she met Drake. She says in an interview that she went out to dinner with him after his concert in November, and they text all the time. In September 2018, Millie revealed even more details about her friendship with Drake. During an interview at the Emmy Awards, she shared that Drake texts her, "I miss you so much," and gives her boy advice. And she says he's coming to Atlanta soon and that she's going to see him.
Yeah, I'm all right. Not happy about this.
That was sus. Yeah. Charlotte D'Alessio. I don't know.
D'Amelio?
Nice. It's D'Alessio and Madison Beer. The Guardian put out an article where it detailed how Charlotte D'Alessio became an Instagram sensation. Her mother explained in Article 8 story about Drake FaceTiming Charlotte. Drake was 31 at the time. She was 18. And Madison Beer, 18 as well. Bella Harris. 18-year-old Bella Harris shared a photo with 31-year-old Drake while she was backstage at his concert, which sparked romance rumors. The caption said, "No place I'd rather be," heart emoji.
I mean,
Drake reportedly shut down a restaurant for a private dinner for Bella in September 2018. He met her in 2016 when she was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got yourself a pattern. And you've got yourself repetition of, you know, like, you know, when you're in your 20s, okay, all right, 20, you're 26 and it's a 17-year-old or a 19-year-old, okay. You hit 30 and you're still doing it, and then you're talking to a teenage icon from Stranger Things. It's a lot of material for Kendrick to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and this list goes on, man. Like, I mean,
it goes on. It goes on.
We get the point. Yeah. But sus. I mean,
final ruling is sus.
Just sus, man. Like, look, and then here, shout out to who, I don't even want to say her name. The comments on this thread excusing a 30-year-old man of befriending a 13-year-old little girl scares the bejesus out of me. My daughter was 13 and I found out a 30-year-old man was texting her, no matter how innocent. I'd hit him with a car. Just totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. We move.
Yeah. Hey, Ron Burgundy showed up to the roast.
Oh, really? The Anchorman.
Yeah. The Anchorman. Yeah. Oh,
wow. Shout out to the Anchorman.
News Channel Team 7. Team 8? Team 7? Channel? Yeah. He showed up and did a bit. And yeah, it was great. It felt like the WWE when you hear someone's music and they're like, hey, and straight out of News Channel 7, Ron Burgundy and his whole bit.
You know who else was in Anchorman? Drake.
Oh, my God. There it is.
Yo, that was great. That was great. That was a great lob, Tom.
Welcome to the Coming Home podcast, the episode Woo-hoo. Coming Home of the OG podcast that count the dings. We're going to break down some NBA playoffs here. The round one series is done. It's in the books.
We did it. We finished it.
We made it.
We made it. And we're gonna talk about this evening's games. Of course, we've got the Knicks versus the Pacers. We've got game two of the Nuggets Minnesota Timberwolves series. We've got some fun stuff on the other side, on the other side of the slate. Do the Celtics and Thunder, do they just wait for the Western Conference or the conference finals? Like, are they ever going to play again? Do they have a bye?
They unfortunately have to play the games. They have to go through the motions and
they still have to play the games.
Get to the Western finals. Are you counting out the Mavs, Tom?
I am. Yeah.
It's done. Yeah. They're done.
Yeah.
Maxi Kleber's AC joint is done. Busted. Their shoulder is, he couldn't lift his arm. It's over.
Luka's knee is really why I feel like he'll be tested in ways with that knee. Mark Dagnult will, I
Shout
think.
To Mark.
There's this weird thing that we do in sports where it's like, we can't explicitly say the other team is going to try to injure the other player, but like, we'll like couch be like, Luka Doncic's knee. I think they're going to really make him work defensively. But yeah, that's my concern with the Mavs. Kyrie looks great. And I love the way they defend and Lob City, Dallas, all that. We're going to talk about that, that series as well. Maze, what do you think we should do for the Patreon today?
Oh, we got to do the offseason blues. We got to do the teams that are on their way to Cancun or
woo-hoo.
Coming home, perhaps, you might say, at the end of the day.
Let's do that. LeBron James, I did a hit with Golic this morning, and they were like, we're 7.5 minutes into the show, and we haven't mentioned LeBron's name. So we got to talk about that. So we'll talk about that too. LeBron in the Patreon. Thank you to the subscribers. So let's get started here. Right off the bat, Anthony Edwards, Michael Jordan, as long as we're speculating here about kids and offspring and lineage. Marcus Thompson wrote a great column for The Athletic. And he's like basically saying, I know that Anthony Edwards is not the son of Michael Jordan, but also I just want to throw this out there. And he just went through a whole column about how the stars are aligning. The dots are connecting, Trey. And he's 22 years old. He had back-to-back 40-point games, took over down the stretch when Carl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. Naz Reid had 10 points, straight points. But he went into Denver and destroyed them and looked like the best player on the floor as a 22-year-old. As a Michael Jordan supporter, enthusiast, Trey, how do you feel about this Anthony Edwards ascension, but being in the context of like he's Jordan 2.0?
Yeah, it's kind of like lazy. It's lazy. I think it's a disservice to Anthony Edwards. I think he's really good. He's just Ant-Man. That's it. You know what I mean? Like,
did you feel that way about like Kobe and Vince? Like, hey, enough of the comparisons. It's not fair. Let them be.
I didn't feel that way because Kobe just forced it. I feel like he forced it. I didn't really see it with Vince. Like, Vince was like, cool, he's bald and he dunked. But like, there was a lot of like holes in his game. Like, same thing with baby Jordan, Harold Miner. Like, it was unfair, like, to get that like stamp. Like, Kobe really wanted the mic shit. He was just like, all right, I'm just gonna openly steal this shit and y'all can't do nothing about it. Anthony Edwards, he ain't out there doing nothing. And he also just like, yo, Kevin Durant, my favorite player. I don't fuck what y'all talking about, right? And had a chance to get and send his ass home, right? So cool. But what he's doing, he looked like the best player on the planet. I didn't have this, this before the playoffs started. I didn't have this in my mind. I think like, yo, he's a very good player. He gonna be up there. But now we're talking about face of the league. Like, I think there's a lot of overreactions going on right now. We got Jalen Brunson, the king of New York. We got Anthony Edwards, the face of the league. Well, you know,
I think we're all like, hungry. Yeah, we're all hungry to anoint the next king.
I mean, look, Jokic, love you. You just ain't sexy. again, it falls back to the sexiness, right? Mm. Like the idea that guards, man, guards run this league, man. Guards will always run this league.
Yeah.
They move guards product. Are always a selling product, man. Because nobody ever, guards are more, you'll find more guards than big men in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
I couldn't even tell you what brand Jokic is. Like, does he wear Nike?
He wears 361. He's in a Chinese brand.
Oh, yep. There you go.
see?
I love how they always have to bring his teammates with him for the commercials because he has to be talking to somebody that he knows. Peyton Watson, step up. Come on in.
Shout out to Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
Peyton absolutely. Watson got a big assignment ahead of him, too.
Somebody's got to guard Anthony Edwards. It might as well be Peyton Watson.
Shout out to TJ Ford in the Carmelo commercial. Yeah.
That was a good reach back, too. Shout out to whoever wrote that. That was a good reach back to get TJ Ford involved. Because they could have left him out. Like, shout out to that. That was fire. But no, I'm really enjoying this dude play. I've even heard whispers from other players that this is his championship to lose. They are that bought into his level of play. He's so locked in right now. And I'm like,
He hasn't lost this postseason.
I'm like, okay. I'm not mad. Anybody that can make Rudy Gobert lovable or Cat lovable, like, you're on to something.
Yeah.
Cat, I'm out the big 15. The fact that we're getting quotes from them too in the postseason is hilarious. And I mean, I'm enjoying it though. Like, I still pick the Nuggets to win the series.
Yep.
Already did it. I can't switch up. This is before the game even started. But I'm going to enjoy Anthony Edwards' performance, regardless of the outcome, whether he makes it or he doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that we're incapable of discussing players unless we attach them to LeBron or Michael or Steph. It's weird. Mm-hmm. We can't just say Anthony Edwards has been incredible, right? We can't just say he's a transcendent talent, 22 years old, answering every question about the Minnesota Timberwolves offensively, like carrying them down the stretch. Cat gets in foul trouble and no problem. We got Naz Reid and we're going to kill these dudes. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of this too, is just like every time a player ascends, the NBA audience is just so programmed to not care unless it's a perceived threat against someone else's throne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, we can't just talk about Anthony Edwards. We have to be like, he's the next Michael, right? Or we can't say Jason Tatum is great. We have to say like, oh, he's coming for LeBron's dominance in the East, right? It's, I'm guilty of it too. Comparing Ant and Kobe, for example, Kobe Bryant was 22 years old, 8 months and 24 days when he had back-to-back 40-point games in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards, 22 years old, 8 months old and 28 days, four days apart. They were born and performing at this level within a week of each other. So this 40-point back-to-back thing, awesome. And just the fact that they are kind of linked to that by 4 days apart age-wise. And LeBron, when he did his Detroit 48-point game, he was 22 and a half. So I feel like Ant is right now doing things that was ahead of schedule. When he was on Team USA this past summer, I kind of felt like, okay, people are thinking that he might be an alpha this year and an all-star. Okay. But now at this rate, is he starting on Team USA this year?
Yeah.
No.
Is he the closer Team USA this year?
Wait, starting? Let's
like Devin Booker, is that his spot or is that Ant's spot?
He's taking Devin Booker's spot.
Devin Booker's definitely not starting. But like let's really think about a starting lineup for Team USA right now. Steph actually gets to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Steph. Yeah.
He's earned it. He's earned it because, I mean, there's been plenty of years where he had to wait. He had to sit and come off the bench. Okay, so we got Steph. Mm-hmm. Steph doesn't want to run the point, which is, like, going to be funny.
KD
and LeBron locks.
So LeBron's the point. It's fine.
Embiid's the five?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Edwards at the two.
Yeah, I'm taking Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else.
It'd be Booker. The other options are Booker, Holiday, Halliburton, Tatum, Leonard. Like, you're not going to run another forward out there. So there you go.
Isn't that wild? Like, who? Look at this. Like, tell me those names again. So how many are still lineup. Left in the playoffs? Right?
First KD, round exit. LeBron, Steph, all home, coming home. Then you got Joel Embiid, home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Edwards.
That.
Also, Devin Booker, home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bam Adebayo, home.
Kawhi, home. Kawhi, everybody home. Resting up. Everybody get that time off before July camp.
Yep. 3, 2, 1. Cancun, then France. Yeah.
Hey, your third eye might be open, man. They might want to get that summer. They didn't want to fuck their summer up like Scottie Pippen. So they got the early exit and get ready for this last hoorah.
I mean, could have Kawhi played in every playoff game, or was he like, I want to make sure I'm good for...
I want to save my body for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If Kawhi can't play, who replaces him?
Towns. Just kidding.
And is Joel Embiid healthy enough to play?
Is Banchero? Yeah, Banchero would be it.
Joel probably shouldn't, but he, I think, wants to really bad. And then, Paolo would be great.
Yeah, I think Paolo. He looks really good. Hey, can I ask you guys a question here? It's not really X's and O's or basketball stuff, but since we have Wyatt and Kennedy's finest here,
there's people.
I feel like the Shea Gilgeous Alexander Chet Holmgren ad is, God. I think, I'm keeping my third eye open on this one. I think it's purposely terrible, and that's why they're winning. I think it's a good ad because it's so bad, and the harmony is so bad, and the song is so bad, and why are they doing Christina Aguilera? It makes no sense. The joke's on y'all. They want you guys to be hating the ad. And so I'm asking Trey, is this keep your third eye open? The point of that ad is that it is terrible. That Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren, why are they singing a Christina Aguilera song? And what a pro wants? And why is there neither of them are good singers? What's the point? And my point is because you're going to be talking about it. And the only thing that I would say is the whole tie-in with the product, maybe not quite strong, and you want to have the tie-in with the product. But I feel like that commercial is so bad, it's on purpose, and that's why it's good.
Well, it's a trigger.
Yeah.
It is supposed to stick with you. So when you think about the commercial, you think about the jingle. And also, Chet Holmgren, shout out to Natasha Dye from People Mag. She did an article about Chet Holmgren had to learn that song.
Mm-hmm.
Just to BCS. Even get that right. Because
that came out 30 years before he was born.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the idea of just even just planning that right and getting it right. But we need more commercials. Wyden did not do that, by the way. But I will say we need more commercials because these NBA commercials are looped.
Yes. Yes.
Where we only have a few commercials, but they have the buyer spots, so they can air it as much as they want.
Hopefully, new round, and we'll get some new commercials in the mix. Because man, just the what a pro wants versus no flex zone conversation has not stopped. Back to Wolves Nuggets. Edwards came out 14 points right off the bat, didn't miss a shot. The Nuggets responded, got back in the game. They did look a little sleepy. I think this is going to go 7. I think it's going to be a great series. I don't think the Nuggets are just going to roll over and hand Anthony Edwards the torch and the keys and the baton and whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a fight. And who's going to guard him is the question. Because I think the answer would be Gordon, but he has to deal with Towns. Like they, because of the too big situation, Gordon can't guard the best wing, which he has been able to do in other scenarios. So I think the Nuggets will respond. I think we will see Anthony Edwards perhaps struggle. I know it's crazy to think that a 22-year-old could take a stumble, but how he responds from that will be fascinating too. So
yeah,
great series.
Look, I think those are great points there, Miz. I would also say all of those mismatch problems would be mitigated if Jokic showed up.
Minimum.
Jokic has 14 turnovers in his last two games. He didn't have a single game last year in the playoff run, the title run, with more than six turnovers. He has seven in back-to-back games.
Take the higher on Jokic turnovers.
I'm going the other way. I think he got punched in the face in this game one and is now going to get serious about, you know, playing basketball. Travels in the backcourt? Like, what do we... What? 3 second violations when he's lingering too long in the... This is so low basketball IQ stuff from Jokic. And he got away with it against the Lakers because the Lakers don't have a supporting cast around AD and LeBron that can make him pay. He's playing with his food, okay? Jokic, his game, what was it? His last game in the Lakers series was one of the worst games I've ever seen him play in the postseason. And he ended up with like 22, 20, and 9 or something like that.
Classic terrible game.
Mm-hmm. Classic terrible game. He hasn't been playing well. And I think the Timberwolves are good enough that they can take advantage of that and capitalize on those turnovers. They're playing Naz Reid. Naz Reid is guarding Jokic to a stalemate and letting Rudy Gobert roam as the free safety and blocking off those Aaron Gordon lobs. And at some point, you're just like, yo, Jokic, you gotta bring it, man. And Jamal Murray scoreless in the first half. I feel like they were playing with their food in game one, and this is going to go seven, but I'm still taking Denver.
Trey, do the Pacers have a chance against the Knicks?
I got the Knicks in six, but I'm just kind of like nervous that everybody's choosing the Knicks. I haven't seen one person say, yo, Pacers. And I'm like, Halliburton hasn't been having a great series. And I'm like, okay, he's due. I mean, the floater, he had a good game or two. But like, I feel like with rest and like a reset, and like, I feel like he's going to be on some Trae Young shit, like embracing the villain. You know what I mean? Like,
he embraced the last series. Yeah. Yeah. And the Obi Toppin revenge game.
Oh, you know, he's been shooting the blood out the ball. I ain't seen him shoot the three like that ever. And he's just knocking it down. So it might work in the pace. It might work in the Knicks' favor, though, because he might be shooting too much. He look like he make a few and then he just start getting really thirsty. So I don't know.
I've got the Knicks in six as well. I would, if I were betting man, I would throw some money on the Pacers winning the series and the Cavaliers winning the series. I'm not saying they're going to win, but the odds are crazy right now.
Crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Porzingis is out. And what the Celtics are like minus 1,600 to win that series. Something like that. Trey, that's insane. Like Donovan Mitchell is healthy, right? He's dropping 40 burgers, 50 burgers. Evan Mobley is playing like the best defender on the planet. Porzingis is out. I don't think that the Miami Heat were able to provide any sort of test against the Boston Celtics, but I think the Cavs are better suited right now. Without Jimmy Butler, the Heat are not the same team. If Jared Allen's healthy, I'm not saying the Boston Celtics are going to lose, but they're one injury away or one piece away from this becoming a real series. So I just feel like you take a flyer on both of those teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun though. If they win,
I'll go like the other way. Don't take a flyer on those teams.
No,
you will see Celtics Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just wonder if Tom Thibodeau is going to keep playing his guys 45 minutes a game.
I think you're right. I think they will.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I'm just disagreeing with you, Tom. It's okay. Yeah. White guys can disagree. Okay. Yeah. No beef.
White guys can't disagree. Beef. That's a bumper sticker. That would be a great bumper sticker.
Underlined. Can disagree. Yeah. They're allowed.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it is going to be Knicks Celtics.
That's great. What we want for the content. That's what we want for the Side Talk NYC videos. We need Knicks Celtics. We need Knicks winning game one and New York City lighting on fire. That's what we want.
Burning Reggie Miller jerseys and shit.
Can you imagine Knicks fans going from Philly to Indiana to
Boston?
The Boston Celtics
striking down demons left and right.
Amazing.
Man, maybe the Miami Heat, if they had beaten Miami, that it would be better. But like, that's an amazing road to the finals. Amazing road for Knicks fans. Okay. So I've got also Boston in six. I got Knicks in six. I've got OKC in six, and I got Denver in seven. So any disagreements there, white guy Mace, on those? You like Dallas and that series?
I'm gonna go Thunder in seven. I'm gonna give the Mavs one more game than you. I'm gonna go Knicks in five.
I don't hate
and
it.
I'm kind of tempted to go Celtics in 5-2, but I want to see one game and see how healthy everybody is.
Did anyone at ESPN
also still out, right? So we don't know if he's going to play in the Celtics series yet.
Nope.
So that kind of is a wash with the Porzingis thing.
Right now on ESPN.com, one of the top the top video on ESPN.com NBA section is Stephen A. LeBron's carousel of coaches affects GOAT case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yo, did you see Wilbon go in?
No.
Oh, Wilbon got an ether.
All right. For the Patreon, that's it for the show. Thank you. Thank you, Maze. Thank you, Trey. Same time next week.